The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, chapter number 9, text number 18, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasathikari, recorded on April 16th, 2010, in Kaunas, Lithuania.
So today we are continuing on in this most amazing historical description of the pastimes of Judd Bharat. Canto 5, Chapter 9, Text Number 18. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Brisham Amarsha Roshavesha Rabasa Vilasita Bru Kuti Vitapa Kutila Tangstra Yunikshanat To Pati Bayanuko Vadanahantu Kama Vedang Mahatahasam Ati Samram Bena Vimunchanti Tata Upacha Vapiyasham Tushtanam Tenavasina Vivrikta Shishirnam Galat Shravantam Ashrag Asavam Astyushnam Saha Ganena Nipiyati Panamada Vivalod Shatait Tatarang Sva Parshadai Saha jagao nanarita cha vijahara chashira kanduka liliya. Translation in purport by Srila Prabhupada. Intolerant of the offenses committed, the infuriated goddess Kali flashed her eyes and displayed her fierce curved teeth. Her reddish eyes glowed and she displayed her fearsome features. She assumed a frightening body as if she were prepared to destroy the entire creation. Leaping violently from the altar, she immediately decapitated all the rogues and thieves with the very sword which they had intended to kill Judd Bharat. She then began to drink the hot blood that poured from the necks of the beheaded rogues and thieves, as if this blood were liquor. Indeed, she drank this intoxicant with her associates, who were witches and female demons. Becoming intoxicated with this blood, they all began to sing very loudly and dance, as though prepared to annihilate the entire universe. At the same time, they began to play with the heads of the rogues and thieves, tossing them about as if they were balls. Purport. It is evident from this verse that the devotees of Goddess Kali are not at all favored by her. It is Goddess Kali's work to kill and punish the demons. Goddess Kali Durga engages in decapitating many demons, dacoits, and other unwanted elements in society. Neglecting Krishna consciousness, foolish people try to satisfy the goddess by offering her many abominable things, but ultimately, when there is a little discrepancy in this worship, the demigoddess punishes the worshipper by taking his life. Demoniac people worship Goddess Kali to obtain some material benefit, but they are not excused of the sins performed in the name of worship. To sacrifice a man or animal before the deity is specifically forbidden.
Vande ha Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Ragana Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha.
Well, now we can see why Krishna says, Kamaistaista Hridayana Prapadyantena Devata. Those who worship the demigods, they have no brains. These fools thought they were going to please Goddess Kali by offering Jad Bharat. But what was the result? They got their heads cut off by Goddess Kali. Goddess Kali and her associates drank the blood of these decapitated demons. And they're throwing around like a ball game. They're throwing balls around, throwing their heads around like balls. So, instead of trying to please the demigods to get your material desires satisfied, it's better to worship the Supreme Lord to get your spiritual desire fulfilled, to become a pure lover of God. In other words, what good is your worship doing if you're making the deity angry at you? What is the benefit there? You see? Just like that Vikashura, you know that story, Vikashura. He was worshipping Lord Shiva to get his benediction fulfilled. He was sitting in front of a sacrificial fire trying to offer different articles of sacrifice into the fire so that Shiva would appear. And he became so frustrated that Lord Shiva is not coming. He was even cutting off his own flesh and offering it into the fire, if you can imagine. But still, Shiva wouldn't come. So finally, he was going to cut off his own head and put it into the fire. But then finally Shiva came to stop him from doing such a foolish thing. Why didn't you just offer me some water? He chastised him. Why are you going to all these severe austerities? Just offer me some water with love and I will come. So he said, okay, what boon would you like? What benediction would you like me to give you? Lord Shiva asked. He said, give me the benediction that anybody whose head I will touch, their skull will crack and they'll be killed immediately. So Shiva, all right, granted. Now, we know that Shiva's wife is very beautiful. Parvati. She's the most beautiful woman. So this demon, just see what is his dedication to Lord Shiva. As soon as he gets this boon, he's thinking, why don't I just kill Lord Shiva right now, then I can take his wife. So Lord Shiva actually could not withdraw the benediction. And he had to run for his life. His own devotee was going to try to kill him just to steal his wife. So he was running here and there all over the universe trying to get away from this demon. And finally they came to where Lord Vishnu was there. And Lord Vishnu disguised himself as a little boy. You know how everybody is a small child. Everybody is charmed by a small child. So the little child asked the demon, he said, Lord Shiva, you gave you this benediction? Do you think that Lord Shiva actually has the power to give you this benediction? Lord Shiva has cheated you. You do not have the power. He doesn't have the power to give such a benediction. So the demon became a little bewildered. He was thinking, I've been cheated by Lord Shiva. He said, you can test it. And you'll see there is no power whatsoever in this boon that he gave you. You just touch your head and you will see. So the demon did that. He said, yeah, I've been cheated. He touched his head and he was killed immediately. So Lord Vishnu had to save Lord Shiva from his own disciple, his own devotee. This is the caliber of devotees that are attracted to worship Lord Shiva. This is the caliber of devotees that are attracted to worship Lord Shiva. Caliber means the quality. So why we should engage in such worship, it doesn't make sense. It's stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, akama sarvakama va mokshakama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purushang param. Whether you have no material desires, or you have all material desires, or you desire merging into impersonal Brahman, you, in any case, worship Krishna. So if you desire something material, instead of worshipping the demigod, you should worship Krishna for that material thing. We see this example in Dhruva Maharaj. He had a desire to achieve a kingdom much greater than his father's kingdom. And his mother said, you go to the forest. Only Lord Vishnu can fulfill this desire. So you go to the forest and do austerities, and then Lord Vishnu, he will come and you will see Lord Vishnu, and then he will grant your desire. So he went to the forest. He was doing all kinds of austerities. He gave up drinking water. Wait, first he gave up eating, no more eating. Then he gave up drinking water. And then he gave up breathing also. And by the power of his austerity, when he stopped breathing, the whole universe was suffocating. Even the demigods could not breathe in the heavenly kingdom.
kai jis sustabdė savo kvepavimą, visą visatą pradėjo dusti ir nedemonai negalėjo, ir pusdieviai negalėjo kvepuoti.
So it was a very, very difficult situation. At this point, Lord Vishnu then appeared, did appear. In his form, Prishne Garbha. And as soon as Dhruva saw the Prishne Garbha, he immediately realized what a fool he was to have worshipped the Lord for material desires. Just seeing Krishna Garbha satisfied all of his desires. He had no more desires. And he lamented that he desired a huge worldly kingdom. He said, I was simply seeking a broken piece of glass. But now, by seeing you, I achieved the rarest gem. So, Prishne Garbha gave him the kingdom he desired. He became the king of the whole universe. He ruled the entire universe. And he became a pure devotee both. So, if you have material desires, it's better to worship Krishna. But better still is to not have any material desires. Because if you worship Krishna and you get your desire fulfilled, what satisfaction you will get is by that desire being fulfilled. If you are still caught in the cycle of birth and death, what benefit does that desire being fulfilled give you? There was one old woman, she was wandering in the forest. She had a burden of sticks on her children. She's coming so heavy. Oh, it's so heavy. She said, Krishna, help! Krishna, help! So Krishna came and said, yes, how can I help you? She said, can you put the burden of sticks that fell off, can you put it back on my shoulder for me? So what is the benefit? This is praying for material desires. It's just like then we're begging to remain caught up in the miserable condition of material life. It's like you're in prison and you ask for a better facility in your a better cell within the prison. If you can get one desire while you're living in the prison, they'll give you anything that you want. You say, well, let me have ice cream every day for lunch. Is that the intelligent way to use up your one desire? No, use your desire. Let me out of this prison, you see. That is intelligent. So we should focus our desires. We should have one desire, and that is to go back to home, back to Godhead. And as soon as we do that, then Krishna will give us all facility, whatever material desires we need. We don't have to pray to get our material desires fulfilled. How many of you, when you grew up in your parents' home, had to ask every day, my dear mother and father, will you feed me? Will you feed me today? Did any of you have to ask your parents that when you were growing up? No. We didn't ask our parents that. So why do we have to say, dear God, please give me my daily bread? We think God doesn't know that we need food? What's the purpose? Dear God, please give us this day our daily bread. This is not a very intelligent prayer. One should instead pray, my dear Lord, please bless me that I can develop pure love for you. This is how we should pray. If we will pray in this way, if we will focus our energies on achieving pure devotion, then we'll become completely happy, completely peaceful. And whatever we need to serve Krishna, He'll give it to us. We won't have to beg Him for our necessities. Simply beg Him for pure bhakti. That is the secret of success in spiritual life. We have to have faith that Krishna loves us, that He's going to take good care of us. We shouldn't doubt Him. I'm thinking, well, on the one hand I'll pray, on the other hand I'll try to manipulate the situation. We should simply absorb our full faith in His service. Trust Him completely that everything will be taken care of by Him. In this mood of complete devotion, Krishna will become our personal property. When you own that person who owns and controls everything, you cannot be lacking in anything. That's a fact. God owns everything. God controls everything. If He becomes your personal supplier of whatever you need, you can never be lacking in anything. Whatever you need, God gives it. But the requirement is we have to be in a mode of pure devotion. If on the one hand we're praying for pure devotion, but on the other hand we're still full of material desires, the Lord will not reciprocate with us in the same way. We have to worship Krishna with exclusive devotion, and then He will give us that special care, personally arrange everything for us. As long as we have material desires, we still have to remain within the realm of the material energy. Struggling to get our necessities. So why should we struggle? It's foolish. We should have one struggle and one struggle only. Become a pure devotee. Bring those senses under control. Vacho vegam, manasa krodha vegam, chiva vegam, udaropasta vegam, etan vetanyo vishaheta dira, sravam apimam pridivim shishisha. One who can conquer over the influence of mind, word, anger, mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals, can make disciples all over the world. Mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals. Tongue, belly, and genitals. Such a person can make disciples all over the world. He's described by in the Chaitanya Charitamrita as an Uttama Adhikari. Shastra Yukte Sunipuna Dridha Shraddha Yanra Uttama Adhikari Se Taraye Sangsara. That one who is expert in logic, argument, and the revealed scriptures, and has strong, firm faith in Krishna, is an uttama adhikari. And he can deliver the entire world, bringing everyone to Krishna consciousness. So at the present moment, we are struggling with our material desires. And because of that, we are not so expert in preaching. We are not so expert in logical arguments, nor are we so expert in sastra. But if we will endeavor in this way to bring our mind, words, anger, tongue, belly, and genitals under control, then Krishna will bless us that we can become masters of the Vedic wisdom and become expert in logical arguments. In this way, we can become uttama adhikaris. And we can deliver the world. This is what Prabhupada wants. That we should become empowered Vaishnavas who can transform the history of the world society. So we have to pray for this mercy. That we can stop running after the fulfillment of material desires. And we can focus on pure bhakti. So I can ask now if there's any questions.
Who get this material desires? This is my own desires, or Maya gives it to me?
You can't blame Maya. Maya Devi is facilitating you. It was your desire to be a false lord. So Maya is simply giving you some facility, that's all. Maya is fulfilling your desire. They're giving you so many different ways in which you can try to be a false lord. So it's your own misuse of your free will. So now you have to use that free will and offer it back to Krishna. Consciously make this choice that I want to be Krishna's devotee. I want to bow down to Krishna. I want to chant his names. I want to please Krishna. I want to please my spiritual master. I want to please the devotees. This is called the proper utilization of free will. So that same free will that got us into trouble by misusing it, now if we will use it properly, then we become liberated. So free will can be your best friend or your worst enemy. So how you use it makes a difference. If you use it to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare, and to taste prasadam, then by that proper utilization of free will, you'll become delivered. Any other questions? Yes.
If we can right now control our senses, it means that we don't want to do this.
Yes, we can do it right now. You don't have to wait. Why not start right now? Only think about Krishna. Only take Krishna prasadam. Only get angry in the Lord's service, otherwise don't get angry at all. Eat only is what is required, not lusty eating. In this way, we can immediately begin and become Goswamis very quickly.
Internet question. Recommend as universal practice.
As the what practice?
Universal.
You good?
Universal.
Universal.
But sometimes Christians said that. Do not say the God name with no reason.
The same Christian words that they say that don't chant chant in the vain.
Oh, the Bible verse that says no vain repetition?
Yeah.
What's the question then?
How to commend this?
Yes, we are. Scriptures say the same thing. Sampradaya vihina ye mandraste nishpala mataha. If you have received a mantra, if the mantra you've received is not coming in disciplic succession, then your repetition of it will be in vain. So just as the Bible forbids vain repetition, so does the Vedas, and the Padma Purana also forbids vain repetition. In other words, you have to have an authorized mantra. If you chant something that's not authorized, it will not have any effect. But it's not that repetition is wrong. Vain repetition is wrong. Vain means with no result. Just like in, I grew up as a Christian, and we had wonderful things we used to repeat. It was what's called the Hallelujah Chorus. It's very inspiring musical piece by a famous composer. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God the omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah, hallelujah. They say hallelujah again and again and again, repeating. Christians are doing this. So the Bible verse against vain repetition, it's not against repetition. Because the Christians themselves are repeating, hallelujah, 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 again and again they're repeating. What it does forbid is if there's no benefit. Just like when that Maharishi Mahesh Yogi, he gave me that mantra, aing, 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 aing. That was vain repetition. Vain means there's no result. Just wasting time. Aing, 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 aing. It's just like, as I was explaining the other day, you're an airplane pilot, you know, going down the runway. And if you have a vain, if your mantra is vain, you'll never get off the ground. You just stay on the ground. You'll never get off the ground. But if your mantra is bona fide, then that mantra then will pick you up off the material plane into the spiritual sky. So repeating a bona fide mantra, you will fly in the spiritual sky. And by repeating a non-bona fide mantra, your repetition will be in vain. You're just going to stay in the modes of nature. You won't go anywhere. Therefore, we have to receive. That's why the mantra is given by the spiritual master at the time of initiation. So, next question. You had a question.
Kali was not satisfied by this wrong worshipping. Kali was not satisfied.
Kali
was not satisfied.
Yes, she was not satisfied with her worship. Yeah.
So, what is if we make bad worship and we offend some devotees?
Worshipping devotees?
We offend.
Offending devotees. You're wondering if we get our heads cut off?
No. The question is if we not satisfy devotees. Not offend, but not satisfied.
If you don't satisfy the devotees, then your spiritual life will be hampered.
We satisfy wrongly.
Then a devotee will never be satisfied by a wrong thing. If a devotee is satisfied by something you did wrong, then he's not a devotee. Devotee is only satisfied by pure devotional service. If somebody is satisfied by something sinful that you did, then he's not a devotee. He's a non-devotee. Maybe he's pretending to be a devotee, but actually, if someone is satisfied, but if you do sinful activities and they're satisfied by that, they're not a devotee. Next question.
If politics, government, make wrong decision, can we go to protest?
Yes. Actually, there's a very good example of this in our history. The Muslim magistrate in Navadvip said no more Hare Krishna chanting. He said, kirtan is now forbidden in Navadvip. He said, anybody, any Hindu who does kirtan, I will force him to become a Muslim. And the Hindus are really scared. Because in those days, if a Muslim just threw water on you, you were considered, and you were rejected by the Hindu community and you had to become a Muslim. If a Muslim threw water on you, you were rejected by the Hindu community. That you being contaminated by the Muslims, so now you get out of here. We don't want you. They had Karmakandia type of rules, very strict Karmakandia type rules. So the Hindus got really scared that he'll force us to become Muslims. I guess we better stop chanting Hare Krishna. But Lord Chaitanya, everyone come, you bring torches, I bring drums and kartals, and we're going to have a big kirtan through the whole city. He said, let's see what kind of Kazi can stop our kirtan. And 100,000 Hindus marched on the Kazi's house. And he was so scared, he hid under his bed. finally he came out and came to the door. They were banging on the door. They were out in the yard tearing up his garden. Some of them are really angry. They were tearing up his garden, you know, trashing his garden. Finally, he came out, and there was some talks between Lord Chaitanya and Shankazi. And Shankazi became a devotee. He joined the movement. So, this is the beginning of civil disobedience movement, protesting against government injustice. Lord Chaitanya, it was not Gandhi who inaugurated civil disobedience. There's a famous thing called civil disobedience. And there was an essay by an American philosopher called Civil Disobedience, and it inspired Gandhi to protest the British government. But this was not begun by Gandhi. Civil disobedience is begun by Lord Chaitanya, protesting the government injustice. So the Hare Krishna people, the original protesters against the government, and we're still protesting against the government for the injustices they are doing. They're allowing the slaughterhouses and the abortion clinics. They're allowing all this liquor and the cigarettes. We protest very strongly against the misgovernment. Yes.
So just thinking, what kind of protest he meant and what kind of protest we request?
What kind of protest?
What kind of protest that present time people do it and what kind of protest the Hare Krishnas are doing?
Well, the protesting of Lord Chaitanya was a big kirtan. That was his style of protesting. They weren't marching with signs like they do nowadays. Marching with signs, holding signs up. But actually, we organized very big in the UK. The government wanted to close down our temple, Bhaktivedanta Manor. And we organized huge protests. Tens of thousands of people protested at the apartment building. And we finally defeated this rascal attempt to close down our temple. It's still open. We won the battle. And there was they were protesting with signs, and there was thousands of people marching in the streets of London. It was a huge thing. Even members of parliament came out and joined the protest. So it was a very successful campaign. We're prepared to do all kinds of protesting, just like when the devotees in the USSR were being tortured by the KGB. One little boy named Pilad, he made a record in protest against the Russian government called Please Release Them. It was a song to Mr. Gorbachev. Mr. Gorbachev, please release them, please set them free. It's a nice little song he wrote. And actually Gorbachev somehow got the message. And he released the Soviet devotees from the prisons. You see? And the communist government fell apart also. Because there was many, many protests organized by the ISKCON devotees against the Soviet government, against the communist government, and actually they brought all these protests brought down the communist regime. So we're definitely into bringing down And stopping government injustice. That's part of our program, definitely. The Qazi was defeated. The communists were defeated. The attempt to close down the Bhaktivedanta Manor was defeated. We are not sit-down Vaishnavas. We are fighting Vaishnavas. We protest against this nonsense going on in the world. And someday it will be seen how Prabhupada's movement put a stop to all the nonsense on this planet. It'll be that day, there'll be no more slaughterhouses, no more liquor shops, no more abortion clinics, you see. Prabhupada's movement is going to finish all of these things by preaching.
Can you protest against material things like wrong taxes?
No, taxes aren't wrong. The Vedic society also, there is taxes.
No, but if government make bad decision and make not they make they ask to pay very not reasonable.
Actually, if one wants to, if a devotee wants to enter into politics, a career in politics, we encourage. Chant good rounds, follow the principles, become a successful politician, become the prime minister, put a change to this situation. We want devotees in every sphere of activity. In the universities, we want all the professors should be devotees. We want that all the scientists should be devotees, all the politicians. We want their devotees should be in every sphere, including the government. So there can be proper government, conducive for Krishna consciousness. Yes, they should not take excessive taxation. That's a bit. In the Vedic system, there was one simple tax. You would give, I think it was 25% of your crop. Whatever your earning was, you give 25%. And if there was no profit, you didn't give anything. But now, even if you have no profit, you still have to pay tax. You have that, what is it called, value-added tax, VAT? Do you have that here in Lithuania? Oh, do you have sales tax? Every time you buy something, you have to pay a tax. See, in Vedic culture, you didn't have sales tax and this tax. You have one tax only. Whatever your earning is, the percentage of that, and that's it. No more tax. And the government would provide, if you were lacking something, the government would give you what you needed. If you were hungry, they would feed you. If you didn't have a house, they'd give you a house. If you didn't have any clothes, they'd give you clothes. If you don't have a job, they make sure you have a job. The government gave everything. All facilities were given by the government. In the Vedic culture, if you had some difficulty, you could personally go see the king. Tell him what your difficulty was. And he would take care. In the Vedic, in Dwarka, I think it was in Dwarka city, somebody complained to Arjuna that my son has died before me, and this is against the laws of nature. He argued with Arjuna that by nature's way, the father dies first and the son dies later. But the son has died before the father has died. This is against nature's law. So this means your government is bad. If your government is proper, then the father will die first and the son will die later. So therefore, if you are a proper leader, you must bring my son back from the dead. And Arjuna did it. That is proper government. If there is proper government, there won't be excessive rain or drought. There won't be disease running everywhere. Nature will become very pleasing if the government is proper, like in the Vedic times. So these government leaders are corrupt, there's no doubt. They're exploiting us, they're abusing us for their own sense gratification. So we need to replace them with good government leaders, Krishna conscious men. When the high court judges are wearing tilak, then our movement is successful. Any other questions? Yes.
If government is bad, usually citizens go to another country. Should we do like this, or we should stay here?
Where is a country where the government is good? Is there any such country on this planet? They better stay here and make a revolution.
I want to ask that for a spiritual progress we need spiritual master. So what about Bharata? Does he has a spiritual master?
So the question is, does Jad Bharata have a spiritual master? Well, when he had the deer's body, he was associating with the sages. So it's not that these great transcendentalists are simply, they think themselves independent. When he was Bharata Maharaj, certainly he had a spiritual master. As a deer, he associated with the sages. So the question was, did he, in this lifetime, did he accept a spiritual master? I don't recall having read anywhere that he did do so. But he was already a pure devotee. You see, if you think, well, I don't read that Jad Bharata had a guru, so I don't need one. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll see if you're qualified to be like Jad Bharata. If you can be captured by a band of dacoits who are going to slaughter you before Goddess Kali, and Goddess Kali jumps out of, is so angry about your being offended, she jumps out of the deity form and kills all the demons, and maybe you don't need a spiritual master in this life. If you're that advanced of a devotee, the Goddess Kali will burst out of the deity to personally save you. Are any of us that advanced? The Goddess, the deity will burst out of the deity, the statue, and save us personally. So better be safe than sorry. Take a spiritual master. Yeah.
Since he has been pure devotee in his pure devotee in his previous life, he has taken birth in a high aristocratic and prominent family. So all the rituals were done, so he must have a spiritual master.
Oh, that's Mataji has made a very good point. Since he took birth in a proper Brahmin family, he must have had a spiritual master, because that's a standard thing for a Brahmin family, that they give diksha is given to the boys, Brahmin boys. Is it bad? Yeah.
How to distinguish between which are our real necessities and which are our only mind?
Between what is your basic comforts and what is extravagance?
What is a real spiritual desire and what is material desire?
Now, what is actually necessary and what's simply being extravagant? Yeah. Well, it's sometimes said one man's food is another man's poison. For a brahmachari, there's one standard. For a householder, there's another standard. So that's why we require a spiritual master and senior devotees. To help us see that we're not taking beyond what our quota is. In other words, what is my quota? How much do I actually need to do my service? And how much would be considered overindulgence of my senses? You see, for one devotee, he needs a big, big plate of prasadam. Because he works hard physically. Another devotee who doesn't do physical work, if he eats that much prasadam, he'd be in maya. So he can only take a small quantity of prasadam. But the other devotee who's working hard, he thinks to imitate this other devotee who eats little, he'll be in maya by eating too little. Bhagavad Gita says, you cannot be a yogi if you eat too much, eat too little, sleep too much, or sleep too little. So that same principle applies not only to eating and sleeping, but to all aspects of your material life. If you take too much, you'll fall down. You take too little, you fall down also. So you have to take what is conducive for your Krishna consciousness. That is the rule. How much material facility is facilitating your Krishna consciousness? If you put yourself in too difficult of a situation, you see, then your Krishna consciousness may go down. Put yourself in too opulent of a situation, your Krishna consciousness can go down. So you have to find what's called the happy medium point, which best facilitates your Krishna consciousness. By experimentation, you can also see. If you're too austere, your health may suffer. And if you're too, I don't know if you can translate this word, licentious. Probably you can't translate that. If you're too much in a sense gratification, that will also hurt your Krishna consciousness. So you have to find that happy medium point where you're best facilitated to do your service. It's like for my service, where I'm traveling all over the world, I have to always make sure I have an internet connection. I mean, I have to have a good internet connection every day. Now, for some devotees, that may not be necessary. And for them to demand such a thing may be not, you know, not really conducive for their Krishna consciousness. That every day I must have a broadband connection to the internet. Some devotee, a brahmacharya, on traveling Sankirtan, he tells his Sankirtan leader, I won't go on Sankirtan unless I can have a broadband connection every day. So for him it may be an extravagant demand, you see. But for myself, I have an e-course, I got 12,000 readers out there waiting for their daily thought for the day, and I have a publishing deadline every day. So for me, it's not an extravagance, it's a necessity. So whatever is necessary for your service, that you take. Necessities are allowed, but extravagance is not allowed. Does that make it clear? Or it's still a little unclear?
Sometimes we need to make experiment.
Yeah, we have, you know, when you sit down to take prasadam, it's an experiment every time. And Prabhupada, even one time Prabhupada overate, you know that? he was on a walk in the South India and he told his disciple Tejas. And Tejas was shocked. Prabhupada said, your eating has made me sick. And Tejas went, oh, he felt so horrible, you know, for a second. And then Prabhupada said, you have cooked so nicely that I ate too much. You have cooked so nicely that I took too much and now I'm sick. So then Tejas felt very happy that actually he had cooked very nicely. So Prabhupada even admitted one time he took too much because it was so cooked so nicely. Of course, you could say that's just a pastime to instruct his disciple. Prabhupada was always perfectly self-controlled. But sometimes we do that. We end up taking too much. We realize it was a mistake. Because it's hard for us to digest it. We end up just falling asleep. Sometimes we don't eat enough and we don't have enough energy to do our service. We try skipping a meal and then we regret it. So in this way you have to just in your eating you can see by you can judge by the result. Palena parichyate. In all aspects by trying sincerely trying to do what is best for your Krishna consciousness in all circumstances. And what does Krishna say? Tesham satati yuktanam bhajatam pati purvakam tadami buddhi yogam tam yena mam apiyanti te. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, 10:10. I give them the understanding of which they come to me. So if you sincerely desire to become Krishna's pure devotee, not a show, but you really want to become a pure devotee in your heart, then Krishna will give you the intelligence of what is necessary and what is too much and what is too little. It'll be very clear. Just like for sannyasi, it said he's not supposed to keep any money. But a householder is allowed to keep savings for emergencies. That is stated in this by Prabhupada. So in this way, there are different situations, and so we have to see what is the best thing in our particular situation. So any other question? Yeah.
We know that Krishna wants that we follow principles and chant japa, but how to know who Krishna wants from me personally?
I don't know what he wants from you personally. That's a very simple thing. Just like you're working in a big company, there's the, how do you know how to please the owner of the company by your service? You have a supervisor. So by following the instructions of your supervisor, your manager in the company, then you know you're pleasing the owner of the company. So therefore, guru is required. You require a spiritual master. Because by pleasing your spiritual master, then you're pleasing Krishna. So if you don't have a spiritual master, then one who doesn't have a spiritual master, they should be ready, getting ready to take it, to find a spirit, and getting ready to surrender to the spiritual master. That will be pleasing to Krishna. Because by the spiritual master, he is representing Krishna. He will tell you, do this, don't do that, and this way he instructs you, he guides you. But the spiritual master is also present in the form of the temple authorities. They represent the spiritual master. So, for pleasing Krishna, you can please your senior, your local leaders here. You see. Here there is Kedarnath Prabhu. If you do, you ask Kedarnath Prabhu how you can best be of service for this temple. And by doing that service, then you are pleasing Krishna. So it is not difficult if we have the desire to please Krishna. It is not difficult to please Krishna. Because Guru is there, and temple authorities are there. In this way, by pleasing them, we can be pleasing the Krishna for sure. Is that clear? Yeah. Anything else? Okay, we'll stop here. We thank you very much. Achulabai.